unless everyone wants to go first in these things, guys. This is a bit different than the stuff you might be used to. Okay, so if anyone disagrees with me, please tell me, so I'm trying to figure out is it all right or not right. Instinct dictates that we shake the shackles of generalized generational conditioning. As each piece of parental advice resigns the size of children who know better, wetter behind the ears, hear fears, dismiss recommended careers in favor of a flavor of savored personalized experience. To my grandparents, familiar structure ruptured all other priorities. Life dictated by close-knit community, self-sufficiency, and heavy-handed religious affinity. Limited choice, unvoiced by society, comfort from the simpler things, nothing unnecessary. Except maybe china plates saved to priests on parish tours, children sure no cake will be saved for them. Tend to a family for the first time, opportunity afforded to pursue education taken wholeheartedly. My parents left this world in the 80s, leaving personalized poverty for statewide economic collapse. Time elapsed, youth population dwindled, kindled by promised lands, foreign sands, and once again, our post-famine reputation as an immigration nation preceded them. Opportunity came in security, governmental jobs solved my parents' problems, and life evolved with Celtic tiger prosperity, materialistic needs met in abundance, redundance of caution softened by SSIA, grants allowing lower middle class to invest in hot tubs, spa day, back rubs, two German cars, and climb a property ladder which proved to be more of a house of cards. Growing up knowing comfort, my generation initially knew no want and began to haunt the realms of privilege. A college degree became a necessity, intercontinental travel, a rite of passage, pursuing passion became a fashion statement. Value and experience trumped guarantees, it seemed that the world was at our feet. Reject a career for life, drive focused on self-created ideologies. But rebelling against a preconceived grain strains the mind. As political alignments change, political parties stay the same. You talk about universal income wage state, repeal the age, artist grants, and chase the realistic pathways to a mortgage without having to forge a life of financial stress. Fail to address for the first time in human history, we seem to have regressed economically. And I feel naive because I want to believe that someone concretely is at fault. And despite a vault of knowledge accessible to all, minimum wage or unpaid internships would represent my life's strife, despite ambition, passion, talent, and valiant attempts to live by my ideals, I'll barely steal a living. Unless I conform, corporate, get lucky, or inherit a fuckload of money. Well, last bit. So I live in an echo chamber, growing vain in the hope that the next generation society will gain brings real change, knowing that it's strange that they'll have to learn to accommodate me, or conversations we trace would not be on the topic of wanting children, but more on the ability to afford them.
In our thought, we evaluate our vision, calculate decisions, and choose fate with precision. Is this how we're living? Across a deep schism of the mind, there is a rhythm and a rhyme without formalism or a time. Who defines and decides the design of this side of the mind? The cities of pity, seas of glee, seized by oceans of emotion ceaselessly. See, it seems to me his creed recedes to recesses. Indeed, does he stress us, proceeds to re-guess us, and wields and deals fields of fields as neat weapons. Conceals his deep essence and shields his real presence beneath beliefs that we can reason rationally and passionately, but this happens to be bollocks. A study published in the Journal of Psychological Science in 2000, titled Birds of a Feather Flock Conjointly, Rhyme as a Reason, found that poetic forms, such as use of rhyme or repetition, make statements sound more truthful. So us fools now know that evolution set the mold for these illusions of control that we assume we hold. Just delusions, we are told. But what if these delusions are the cooing of the soul? Should we remove and defy the disguise in which we live our lives, Life's daily grind we see through our mind's eye, which decides when to emphasize, empathize, sympathize, synthesize a feeling. With his wheel he is weaving, since we've been teething, leaving us teeming, beaming, or reeling. His power has no ceiling. This designer runs hot and cold, his plot follows no straight road. If there are no shows ongoing, assume his looming looms are flowing, and soon his booming moods will blow in. For in the absence of recent releases, his scenes, his next piece may leave me in pieces. So here is my thesis. So here now my thesis. Our very faults that are pernicious to reasoning are like salt, a delicious seasoning. To give life flavor and good or bad favor and moments to savor worth to stay for. We coast through life on a boat full of notions, buoyed by winds of emotion. Attempts to be devoid of devotion to delusion's potion is akin to attempts to paddle with semantics frantic across the Atlantic, unmoved by ocean's motion. Thinking is poison potent. The soul's core component is shown only in the moment.
Bit topical because today I got my Christmas bonus. A flush of money into the hand to keep the tills a-jing-jingling and fuel all tomorrow's Christmas parties, all aboard on the Yuletide merry-go-round, and it's still November. Better early than never, remember the days when the allowance was cut. Then we derided the act for its cruelty. How would we afford the small one's presence? The cry of indignation was heard across the land, and for once, hard-pressed parents and retailers were in unison. Now with it restored and paid, I can face the winter festival days with an eager, jovial eye and know that the age of plenty has not yet passed us by.
Thanks. I notice the Christmas season has already started. I'm afraid there's a Christmas Santa Claus downstairs. I put no reason that can strike me. There is nothing whatever up here.
They do
a
next
to suggest. Right, that makes sense, of course. Look, this is an old one, but it's one of two Christmas poems that I'm afraid I'm going to sing between this. The Wolf. Before the invention of nylon stockings, the wolf was more interested in survival. You could see him in the forests of Transylvania, but a fast sleigh or a droshky was advisable. The wolf runs faster when he is hungry, but he did not despair, since droshkies can be unreliable. When he foregathered with kindred spirits, it was better to keep hungry. The wolf's howl is also unnerving to the inexperienced. The invention of the combustion engine was bad news for the wolf, or so it seems. Yet the new technology, the fast car, introduced the wolf to sex and money. And the modern movement.
Well done, Charles. Now we have Megan.
Here. At the moment, this is called How Do You Feel? But I'll probably change it. It's needed to do this. They say nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. But when you're feeling pain in the pit of your stomach and thinking about the food you don't allow yourself to eat, how do you feel? When you enjoy the taste of your dinner, not once, but twice, with added seasoning on the second serving, and it's burning the back of your throat. How does it feel? When you're sluggish and weak, because you didn't eat, because you didn't sleep, because the hunger pains are keeping you awake at night, how do you feel? And if you sleep, you won't need an alarm clock in the morning, because your body is screaming at you to wake up and feed it. How do you feel? And there's a pain going across your eyes, where you once existed, leaving behind skin and bones from where your soul has drifted. I sympathize and understand why you are conflicted. You are mistress to the vicious cycle of societal inflicted issues of bodily hate and harm, of which is always hinted. If society could stop pushing the body type ideal and instead promote and nurture a body that is real, how would you feel?
Shame the devil, these serpents are swirling in apples. Steve has no apps for this crime, this job's all mine, a bed I made, so in it I'll lie. Praying to a Jesus that I don't believe in to condone my sins and lies. Getting impatient, waiting for my Mufasa in the sky to tell me we gon' be alright. We'll survive this stampede, praying for a prophecy, relying on the zodiac to quell a panic attack. I'm guilty as a Union Jack. I need a field of lilac or lavender to calm and pause, clutching at straws. I look to the stars for the constellation to give me confirmation that it's in their calculation, so I can seek redemption for exercising emotions selfish. It's just the circle of life, I guess, and I'm getting stressed from going round and round. I want to take my secrets, bury them in the ground, taste the soil upon my lips, feel them slither around my ribs. I'll mix the secret with clay and twigs, stick leaves to it and leave it on the shelf for house guests to come and see and judge me accordingly when I admit I'm actually not that sorry. Maybe I'll sing my secret to the birds. The sparrows may know more than me, a silly little girl. Not a girl, a woman. That still doesn't sit right. Like a toddler playing dress up in her mother's tights, smearing lipstick across her face. There's only so much I can blame on being Aquarius. So I'll keep the secret, keep it as a pet, in neglect, until it goes away or is rescued by a thought, ISPCA. Or maybe I'll take care of it, give it a good home, feed it right and see if it grows. I can pawn it to the Pine Martins, they'll sell it to the Daily Sun, for a piece of licorice and a hot cross bun. At least then this guilt would be done, releasing me of secrets that can weigh a ton.
Rising before daybreak, I set out into the thin air, ambitious to witness Saturn and bright Venus in transient assignation. My skyward gaze sees no evidence this morn of lustrous luminaries in heavenly congress, no optimistic conjunction, only layers of thin cloud in abortive occlusion, streaks of sugar floss in defiant contradiction to the app on my phone. No planetary signature, just the regular miracle of another pink dawn of creaturely stirrings and a cock-a-doodling.
And now, Patricia Wolf.
Valet's collection costs, split snake handler. Surreptitiously angled, avoiding tribe warnings, circling barriers, using on protection. Some hope of salvation put into test. A true hope of deliverance that is your due. Telling a query consoled by text, electrocuting the argument behind the screen. Walking through dissociation, pending failure, ancestral godlike, saving you from disaster. Scoring average piety, a test worth saving. Spooked into submission, talking exit wounds. Taking seats among the holy, a worthy risk. Eschewing antidotes to the bitter end. Done to be seen by men, some ultimate exercise. Travelling past sinners in their daily lives. A place in heaven awaits a foolhardy. A fast track to salvation and guaranteed lich. A monopoly on the biblical still stands out. Minor text repeated to a sickening slight. Nicely delivering the goods under night. The more venomous the better, certain death required. Survival comes the badge of honour. Anti-venom avoided to the bitter end. Ridiculous cancer, looking for trouble. Get it guaranteed, whimsy permitting. Thank you.
Biting, blink, capturing and keeping you tapped into sight blank. Made up of light tanks of mind perpetually be to the shadows on your skin. Scanning it, printed, and an overlay of the words you spoke, block bits with the black bars of their letters. Soon coming to a conclusion so run through computers, so far from the truth. I throw darts at you, stood behind thick and dense fear they only sponge into, like a wall of rubber, slug sculpture, my metallic spears are toys to it. Though heads persistent, tails impatient, eventually detection occurs, of a faint pop of a piercing. Ears panting, pass earring battens to pairs of eyes, and there's that brief pure smile that was yours, that was mine, my daily post to conjure. And competency wrongfully redundant fail on high emotion to bite tongues again. So I bite it once more, clean off, and hold it in the hand in my pocket. A takeaway coffee in the other. Staring intensely at where the light last left the room. At the corner of the floor just before the door shut, though now it's as dark as the rest, it remains the last image I bit. Corpse in, is decomposing at my core. To be renewed through movement and the handing of flowers. Begun beneath the skin you brushed with painting fingers and adored until I felt as pressure tested porcelain would, when its creation understood by he who drinks warm tea from it, from its one thin white lip. There are stars in your skin and people make a living from selling them, and barely back to your bare back slapped consistently enough to alter interaction. Who are you to be belittled, or a little bit ego-filled? It is where the truth lives, exactly in the middle of conflict. Are you satisfied? Are you happy? Now that you've given up yourself to your lifestyle, is it right this time? Thank you.
This one, but I don't know how it's going to work. off. It's a new one, so.
Mocks my labyrinths in green garments, a substitute for personal honeycombs. They recycle the treads and knit them into dull rainbows of lime beige yolk and light emerald. They call this cross-section a talking map, which they roll religiously as it's a moving track, one that may lead them home to a sun where all moths come from.
Gently picking my way around each leathery hulk, avoid stumbling on a tail or flattened ear. You show no such fear, striding through the dozing herd, not caring what you stir. Startled animals rise in a cloud of dust. I watch them thunder by, not sure how to avoid their wild stampede. Breathless, I think of leaving, brave the undergrowth to reach a jungle clearing. Tendrils snag my feet, a heavy scent of orchid clouds my mind. I stop, look up through the canopy of leaves. The elephants belong to no one. I can call them to my side, persuade them to turn back, get them to trumpet in your ear, to be my champions in a conflict that at last I am ready to accept.
Mary always has something great to offer. Well done. And next we have Grace.
You. So I'm a huge fan of the Beat Poet, and this was kind of stolen from Allen Ginsberg. Ignite. I saw the souls of my generation swelling with fear, erupting with the cries engulfed in eras of injustice, who have evolved into electronic egos infected with backlash bitterness, who reserve the audacity to stand in hiding, contemplate death. If we kill ourselves, they can't wear the satisfaction of our black battered blood. Who retreated into rented bodies, identities that don't fit, who digest invisible heartbeats, unable to unlock the lush, raw flesh we possess. Who shot purple moons into riots, hurled broken bones, delivered disgust in swarms of naked plagues. who were cattled into boxes of justice only to have our corn exploited, who agonized with thunder rolling through pins, crushing cocaine suits, who grasping progress only fell short of profit, designed a way to control our minds, who eliminated, who emphasized, who burnt bridges after they were climbed, who refused to read history, who anticipated our own legacy, who declined, who decided to intensify, who rioted, who died, turn away when there's blood, he wasn't mine. We all unite, who want to win a race, be the winning race, who compose social constructs, abide by lies, time heals wounds, who heals you.
It's called a renegade. To be honest, I'd rather do my own thing. I'd rather you sow your own seeds than give a running commentary on my gardening. And yet here we are, still pardoning every cunning strike, the shards of which cut clean through as we start to stutter, leaving lasting holes like a simmering flutter, while inside the fasting screams obscenely dressed in a mutter, saying yes to all affairs thoughtfully, distraught but blessed to be standing naked. And take it as you want from this glowing game of chess that's come to be. Grown tame are the lions who want to be free. Gone grey are the dogs running around and around, barking religiously. The same old sound day in day out played on a shallow frequency, and the hollow on looking hawks peering in aimlessly. A crying shame to see the sneering stalks of gossiping trees, but to point and blame in an age where talk has become cheap. And like some strung out sage, I keep all my thoughts a shepherd with sheep. The latest and greatest of which at the top of the heap, the ones on the wait list are with the wind, are far from asleep. Intent to be bent out of shape as society conspires, forever rolling the tape and bidding for buyers, kidding only themselves, this herd of naysayers and sires. Each word absurd brings me higher and higher, plans become blurred as you light my fire. But you've never been hurt, never even walked the wire. This land of green has me honeysuckle, I'm squeamish, to unbuckle the banter between Williams, Crawford and Beamish, the cream of which renders me on my knees at every occasion of thirst or grief. The blown off steam at said bender brings the ever tempting temporary relief. This never ending road reckons beggar's belief. And at your beck and call, fear stops and stalls, raising its ugly, uninvited face. Karma calls over to your place, knocks twice on the door but breaks into the kitchen, tries to make you a new scene as the current unfurls, falls apart at the seams, and lies lifeless in the street, when in actual fact you've never seen a dream so disguised and discreet. Finding your feet's never seen so far away, and as you drift to sea, they wave from the bay. You, the renegade, you'll find your own way. Have you signed the contract binding you to stay? Have you been blinded by traditional cloaks and shadows of grey? You, the renegade, you'll choose your path. Whispers say we lose, but who bears the wrath? I pay in blues, but that's nothing new. The expected cost given as a gift that shows only the rift between them and you. Do me one favour, my brothers and sisters of steel, own your thoughts, don't for a second conceal. And remember real, recognise real. With a warm and graceful shake, grace me with honesty worn on your sleeve. Please don't be a part of the 90% phony or fake. This massive herd of cattle. If you look, it's easy to see the lesions, some heifers in heat, but mostly consumer Frisians. More acting than reacting. Distracting shiny things become sacred idols held in highest regard. Welding our pious parts to our hearts back in childhood days of school. Molded to play nothing but the fool. Years of training for conformity. Teachers teach unquestioned gospel with a bitter, angry, pointed finger. Who anointed you the lead singer? Isn't learning fun? The absolute joy of awe-inspiring discovery, the true nature of us humans needs no recovery. I'll ride around town and county with an air horn waking it from dormancy. For all these sleeping souls going through the rigmarole, there is always a glimmer of hope. Joyce's daughter was subjected to some terrible cruelty during her life and after her life. And in a meeting, or maybe consider it a patient-doctor meeting, she was subsequently diagnosed with what was called then female hysteria. This is female hysteria. It was the kind of cynicism found in men that had never been loved by any other except mother. It was the kind of isolation that only a daughter can feel from her mother, except father. She was the kind of dancer that danced to the black pitted checkpoints of her own eyes and was refused entry due to lack of official identification. She was a strand of human hair that falls towards the floor like a light beam, never quite making contact. Anomie. Left to the wayside, remembered as forgotten, insatiable, isolated in a crowd of familial words that her father loved, and no home. Goodbye now to the bygone Sierra, a runaway and a vagabond. Release her, Foucault said, release her. Release her from the brain men's words. Release her from their obsessions, for their obsessions were not hers.
By radicalized hippies dancing panther-like through the European night. Businessmen microdosing on LSD to optimize performance will experience sudden enlightenment on underground trains and emerging from their slumber, empty the contents of their briefcases into European fountains. Refugees will be welcomed across borders. People will not be discriminated against because of gender, class, or race. All forms of government will be dissolved, and cathedral bells across the continent will ring in the death of capitalism. Time, being well spent, will not be money. There shall be no place for the concept of ownership. The last of the pesticides will be fired at the sun in solar-powered waste disposal units, gaining momentum on approach towards the infernal destination. The insect population will soar. EU, 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 union of overgrown lawns alive with the sound of bees, electric hovercraft whizzing gracefully between trees. Union of fern fronds springing out of cracks in the walls. Union of sparkling spider webs. Union of waterfalls. Union of unrealistic proposals made real. Union of Brussels carpets and badly tuned glockenspiels. Union of bats hanging out in dark supermarkets. Union of wagtails, starlings and artists. Union of opulent chandeliers scattered in mountain passes. Union of out-of-date smarties. The European Union doesn't exist from the point of view of a snail. And Brussels doesn't exist from the point of view of a snail. And Ireland doesn't exist from the point of view of a snail. And snails will outlast the European Union. And snails will outlast humankind.
We have Dolly.
I'll get that off. Yeah, thank you. So this little piece is called I Am Relieved, and it's about how when in 20, 30 years' time, when the world consumes itself and the history of the world is written, you know, I feel that my generation, I suppose anybody who's between 26, 30 today, we're kind of the last of a generation that know simplicity, innocence. And I'm aware of the hypocrisy reading this poem from the smartphone. You know? I am relieved that I was of the generation that got to experience the last of old Ireland before she became something strange, without elegance, without goals and lacking soul. A sellout nation of German banks and Daily Mails, of hashtags McDonald's and petty quarrels. And yes, there was fighting when I was young, but it was something innocent. And things can get out of hands at times. Things can get out of hand at times. It all depended who, where and why. But there was no bitchy, snary cyber taunts that crushed the souls of boys and girls, surely too young and innocent to be exposed to such horrific jibes and pokes. On a TV show, some young lad with a mop-top hair to look the same as all his peers, he boasts about how it is great that we can connect at the touch of a button. But I see nothing of this connection that you speak, the pathetic marketing ploy to con the meek and impressionable youth. And we embrace and embrace the freedom to prey on our next door neighbours and know what's up. Jean McGee was in Tralee, Brian Mullins liked and shared, hashtag this and hashtag that. Yarra, to hell with all that, I need fresh air.
One night I walked out of Brides of Button a few years back, and there was an almighty presence in the room, and there was a message from me, and I really, the message was that it's my finality, the end of me, and I genuinely grasped the whole enormity of it, and I said, oh my God, this is all going to end, and then I realized, hold on a second, I'm going to win, but everything else isn't. So I felt betrayal as well. Anyway, we're back to see it eventually, you know. So I hear this form, so it's a bit dark, but bear with me. Eyes open bright to stark, suspended in the hollow, yearning in the latent dark, puzzled, sense of fallow. A noble griffin gorgon angel foe I know is here, prescribes my last eternity. Reality realized, yet no despair, mortal lived, stripped of righteous sanctity. He casts me in this solitary space of lucent singularity, agnostic voice of clarity, I must deny denial of what must be. I'm privileged now by consternation of sometime termination, second minute ticking, ever destined our damnation. I will expire. Erased from time ordained, all my being will be summation. God's polished disc to hail another day when temporal world is callous continuation. So all will be, but for me, finality.
Of an event that I'm putting on with the collective I'm involved in and stuff. I'll just leave the flyer down, you can look at me, some familiar faces doing it, performing stuff with Shauna, Kieran's playing, Michelle and Ali. And it's food, art and exhibition, music and blah blah blah. It's by Sunday as well and stuff like that. It's 12 euro and it's a full day thing, it's BYOB. So you can have a look if you want to.
When?
Oh yeah, sorry, next Saturday. This Saturday.
Where is it again?
It's like 5 minutes walk from Wellington Bridge.
Alright.
By the bottom of and then quickly, and this is a piece by a hip hop, Dublin hip hop fella from 2007 or something. He died really young, he was like 28. I see him as a huge influence and on Irish hip hop as well, kind of like a beautiful sadness that he died. It's like he had to die for like the inspiration of his friends and stuff to like be the main and shit like that. And it's really poignant because it's definitely reflecting what's going on right now, and the first line has November in it, so I felt I only have one more avail to say it, so yeah. It's called Stacey's Story, and the album's called Based on True Story, and I literally witnessed this story over by the Roundy with another girl, not called Stacey. Stacey was 14 on a cold November weekend, wiped the blood with her sleeve after the beating. Her dad fell asleep when she took what she could, crept down the stairs and walked away for good. With enough money to last a week, she rented a room, but her room wasn't cheap. Better that than on the streets, that's how she saw it. A good night's sleep and face the world in the morning. The morning came and Stacey gathered her things, walking in the streets, watching kids play on swings. No cares in the world's on her shoulder. All she needed was somebody to hold her. Now this child's huddled in a dark lane. This such pain would drive the best of us insane. Who's to blame for this child on the street, staring at the sky because she's too scared to sleep? As she shakes with the cold on the concrete, wary of every passer, hungry but can't eat, this young girl that suffered in silence prefers a dangerous street than a life of violence. Once down the line, she knows a couple of faces, the odd hostel and a few safer places. To rest her head, although she still can't sleep, money ran out and she's tapping to eat. She's lucky if she makes a few euro, passes by out shopping, their money's too good for her though. They'd rather complain about refugees in this country than help one of her own begging because she's hungry. The rain pours as she still sits with her cup. She's had enough. The hunger won't let her give up. The weather gets too much. She goes out to a bus shelter and cries out loud, wishing someone would help her. She's at the end of her wits and nothing can bring hope. 2 months on the street and she finally broke. Stacey wanted to escape. She couldn't live on with this fear. With the money she gathered, she bought gear. As they shake with the cold and the concrete, wary of every passer, hungry but can't eat, this young girl has suffered in silence, prefers a dangerous street than a life of violence. Cue in hand, she climbed the 50 stairwell, feeling she's nothing to lose, she's living in hell. No foil in sight, so she rips a can in half, with a straw for a tooth as she forgets her past. Thinks she's free at last, sunny days and birds singing, nothing but good times, Stacey's finally grinning. Thinking of happy times and peaceful places, forgetting she's on the streets and all the bad faces are finally gone. There's nothing wrong anymore. All of a sudden, her stomach is sore. The birds fly away and it starts to rain. She's covered in vomit and she feels ashamed. Lying on the streets, people pass with their children and scream at Stacey to leave the building. This doesn't make her work. This doesn't make her better. Worse, in fact. Now she's on the dark side. Will she ever turn back?
So this poem is called Shopping and Fucking.
Yay!
it's like I got the title from this play.
It's a
play. It's a great title from this great play. So Shopping and Fucking. We made love on shopping bags, that sexy crinkle of Harvey Nickel. I got off on breaking the price tags and how my lace underwear slipped off like gift paper. My cheekbones are peaches frosted with glitter. I slip into a chiffon gown like a drowning woman. Whisk me to a club in a speeding Hummer. Buildings and streetlights ducking for cover. Knock me into the fairest fugue state. I cross the dance floor like daylight's ghost. My gown sends the crowd into convulsions. Why are you all ODing? We took the same amount. It is morning and I am drowning in Japanese linen. The air has turned acrid, I could spit. All this irony on my skin is feeling like acid. Spare me the chemical peel today. Give me something real.
Survey. when your brain it don't dance in step anymore, and rhythm only makes sense to the head. Does your bestowed vague sense of an end give thanks to a purposeful stand? Does judgment of you as a whole represent each constituent part? How far the reflection of light in your eyes, how well do you see in the dark? How dense the mist of your honor, how rooted ideals to the ground. When a heart cries or laughter breaks, how different to you comes the sound. What value have you for your spirit? How worthy your flesh by the pound? How do your eyes smile on the places you've seen? How vast the terrain left unfound? Who waits wanting as you cross it? Whose love's loyalty do you test? Who kisses your forehead at night time? Who blesses the soul in your chest? As it tries escape through a sneeze, who brings calm to your breath? Do you aid their growth in your waking? How peaceful the mind in its rest?